In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
It's April 4th, 1968, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
For several years since I've been in this country, I have experienced a strange syndrome whenever I've eaten out in a Chinese restaurant. The syndrome, which usually begins 15 to 20 minutes after I've eaten the first dish, lasts for about 2 hours. The most prominent symptoms are numbness at the back of the neck, gradually radiating to both arms and the back, general weakness, and palpitation. So began a letter from Dr. Robert Homan Kwok, which appeared on this day in the New England Journal of Medicine.
And you may be wondering why it is significant, and the reason is that this letter sparked other letters from other physicians saying that they were glad to hear that someone amongst their number had suffered from this syndrome, this Chinese restaurant syndrome, because they too had had similar symptoms, headache, nausea, abdominal pain, and they'd never been able to give voice to it before. And the theory that they think it is the use of monosodium glutamate.
Yeah, you then had these really inflammatory headlines that followed with things like Chinese food make you crazy, MSG is number one suspect, already a bit of latent racism creeping in there. That was in the Chicago Tribune. And then you had books that came out entitled things like Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and In Bad Taste, The MSG Symptom Complex. And these things triggered broad investigations on whether MSG was to blame for a whole lot of ailments that people had been reporting after going to restaurants in particular. But in actual fact, there was very little to them.
Yeah, and it's probably not helpful that a lot of the symptoms of supposed MSG sensitivity, for instance, headache, sweating, and chest pains, are also crossover with symptoms of stuffing your face and all you can eat Chinese buffet. But in terms of what MSG actually is, it's monosodium glutamate, and it's the sodium salt form of glutamic acid, which is found in proteins, and it's commonly associated with the flavor profile that we've come to call umami. So glutamic acid is a completely naturally occurring acid. It's found in kelp, seaweed, soy sauce, fish sauce, oyster sauce, green tea. So already you're starting to see the usefulness of a concentrated form of glutamic acid if you're cooking for an East Asian flavour profile. Mm. It's also found in things like roquefort, parmesan, marmite, tomatoes, etc.
Breast milk. It's in breast milk. Mm. So you are actually fed naturally occurring MSG if you're breastfed as a baby.
Right.
So MSG in and of itself is not problematic. There is a recommended daily amount, which different regulators suggest, which obviously doesn't include shoveling pure amounts of it into your mouth. But sprinkled like salt as part of the cooking process, it is recognised that it can, in some cases, cause some side effects. There is no reason to suspect that it's harmful.
Yeah, I mean, that's MSG is literally just a powdered form of this glutamic acid. It was invented in 1908 by a Japanese scientist called Kikune Ikeda of Tokyo Imperial University. He quickly filed a patent for it, and the following year it went on sale in Japan, and it was pretty quickly brought to the US. Initially it was used by food manufacturers, and then it became a domestic item too. But in the 1940s, it was a pretty common ingredient to see in recipes, which just goes to show how much of this was really bound up in distrust around Chinese food generally.
In Japan, it was sold in these slim bottles that were meant to attract a sort of bourgeois type of housewife who were currently in the process of embracing new standards of hygiene and modernity in general. And in China, it took off because it was sold to Buddhists who periodically stop eating meat, and it was meant as a vegetarian flavor enhancer. And I suppose that's how it ended up in Chinese restaurants across the world.
Yeah, I mean, vegetables that taste of meat and fish, what's not to like? This is the solution we've all been crying out for. I do distinctly remember in the 1980s, Everyone talking about MSG in the same sort of context that they discussed all E-numbers and sweeteners and anything that they thought might be carcinogenic. I don't think when I encountered it, it was like an anti-Chinese thing, but it was obviously a spice, a seasoning, an enhancer that was used predominantly in Asian food. So when it came to Chinese food, people would say, oh no, that's got MSG in it. just the same way as they'd say, don't drink that, that gives you cancer, if they're talking about a fizzy pop.
And in the 50s and 60s, there was a movement away from people wanting chemicals in their food. One report I read about this attributed it to Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, which was a book that documented the adverse environmental effects caused by the indiscriminate use of pesticides. And from there, people began thinking, well, do I want chemicals on other things? And that in turn led to federal bans on sweeteners that the Food and Drug Administration in the US deemed to be carcinogenic. And in general, all of this together whipped up people's concern about chemical additives to food generally.
I mean, in a way, what could be more 1960s convenience food than saying to the people of America, look, here's a thing you can buy in the supermarket, you can put it on a scrambled egg and then it tastes amazing, you don't have to put any extra effort in. That seems almost space age brilliant, doesn't it? It's just that this one was invented by some Japanese people rather than an American corporation. But that really is the only difference between all kinds of products that were coming out into the American mainstream at the time and MSG.
Yeah, and just the thing about this letter from Dr. Kwok that started it all is that just the way that it just span out of control. I mean, the first replies were replies to the New England Journal of Medicine. They were from fellow doctors, some of them agreeing, saying that there was something to this theory, and some of them were just jokes. It's like someone who says, you know, I'd be pleased to take a grant to investigate this further with foreign travel, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just gags. And then it just takes this huge turn when the New York Times was the first major publication to pick the story up. And they reported it really at face value. You know, it wasn't just a conversation between doctors. It was, you know, doctor says this is a thing. Mm. And so MSG awareness was suddenly in the mainstream. And then, you know, predictably, you know what people are like. Masses of people immediately identifying as MSG sensitive. Chinese restaurants ended up having to put no MSG signs in the window to reassure their customers. It was actually discussed by a special congressional committee as well. It really just immediately became this huge topic. It was basically discussed as if it was settled science, when really it all stemmed from one curious doctor just floating the question to some other doctors.
Well, to be fair, there was some humour even in the mainstream coverage. I did find that New York Times article, and there's a quote, because they went to a restaurant in Chinatown to source some opinions there, and one of the restaurant owners says, "The only headaches I get are from running this place and paying taxes." So, you know, there was a lightness of touch in reporting it as well. I think people were surprised how this took.
But one of the reasons people may have been feeling bad after they consumed food with MSG in it, apart from what you mentioned, Rebecca, that people just massively overeat when they go to Chinese restaurants, perhaps, is something that's been called the nocebo effect, which is like the polar opposite of the placebo effect, which is the phenomenon of what happens when suggesting that something can cause a negative reaction induces precisely those physical symptoms. So people go, well, you know, I am told that MSG-rich food makes me feel bad, and so I am now experiencing that bad feeling because I've eaten food that I know to have MSG in it. So it could be that people actually were feeling bad after eating in restaurants, that there is some scientific accuracy in the experience. It's just not because there's something bad about MSG in itself. It's what people thought of it.
And such a long-lasting term as well, Chinese restaurant syndrome. I mean, I know that is what we have called this episode because we are, in fact, talking about the day that phrase was coined. But it's crazy that MSG skepticism, or, you know, investigations into whether MSG is harmful, which is a legitimate thing, is still called Chinese restaurant syndrome. I mean, it's in Merriam-Webster's. It was added to the dictionary in 1993. The definition describes symptoms affecting, quote, susceptible persons eating food, and especially Chinese food, heavily seasoned with monosodium glutamate. Now, I know the term exists, so the dictionary would say, well, we're just reporting on what exists. But, I mean, you'd think that the definition would say, you know, racist term implying that Chinese food is more dangerous for you because of its use of monosodium glutamate, but it doesn't.
Yeah, and so the evidence that started the whole MSG scare was really just anecdotal. And since then, there have been multiple exhaustive studies that have been conducted involving subjects doing, you know, blinded taste tests, and they've never found any tangible link whatsoever between MSG and these alleged symptoms of Chinese restaurant syndrome. So whatever there is almost certainly some kind of psychological effect. And this whole story actually has a really weird twist in the tale too, which is that in 2018, an orthopedic surgeon called Howard Steele came forward and claimed that he had written the original letter, the letter attributed to this Dr. Kwok, as a prank. He said it was a bet with a friend to see if they could get a letter published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Do you know, it's sort of a goofy, slightly racist 60s joke. The name seems like something like a white guy might plausibly invent to sound Chinese.
And then the daughter of this guy, the original guy, turned up and said, no, that was my dad. He wrote that letter.
Yeah. And, I mean, this was reported on, Steele's claim was reported on as being the truth. And it was sort of, it was reported in a sort of tone of, and that's the end of the story. Like, it ends with a funny twist. But the actual twist is that there was a real Dr. Kwok. His family came forward to say, yes, it was him. He was, he talked about it. He was proud that he'd had the letter published. And journalists found his obituary where it mentioned that he did work at this institute that he was credited to. And there was an episode of This American Life where the reporter goes and speaks to Dr. Steele's daughter, because Dr. Steele and Dr. Kwok were both dead by this point. And the daughter basically, you know, they sort of expect her to fight back and defend her dad. And she sort of said, yeah, no, dad was a prankster. That lying about this being one of his pranks is exactly the kind of prank that he would do.
There are so many layers to that prank.
Tomorrow.
The crack of breaking spears, the sounds of clashing swords and axes filled the air. The ice could not be seen, for it was covered with a weight of blood.
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Patreon.com/retrospectors.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.